everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 469. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Nintendo Switches, and thumb rings. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and I'm joined here by the people you're really here to see, your friends and mine, the door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the exalted one, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How you doing, man?
Epic beard, my friend.
That dude, yeah. I tell you what, I put a few drops in it every day, and it just grows like a marigold.
So the collector has transformed himself into the lumberjack collector, or collector lumberjack?
It's the Monsanto rub. It's
the log collector?
The log collector. I don't think I want to be called that.
That sounds oddly dirty. I'm not sure exactly how.
It's no better than the wood collector.
True that. It's no better than that. I would say I'm going to be, you can call me the contestant. The only reason I've got this beard is because I'm in a beard contest. So I'm the contestant.
What is the objective? Is it like inches from the chin? I mean, how are you measuring success in said beard contest?
I gotta be judged by a group of six. But basically, I was hoping they would have the best before and after, because I knew I could grow it quick if I could, go clean shaving and then be ZZ Top by the end of the thing. But now there's like categories like full beard, goatee, Fu Manchu, mustache, different types of mustaches, and then they've got a celebrity lookalike. So I was thinking maybe Ehrlich Bachmann, do that cut.
Who the hell is that?
From Silicon Valley. Bachmanity.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, so you just kind of...
You'll need some extra paraphernalia in your hands to pull off the complete
look. And a curly wig. But it's red enough, and then if I could just get it to connect to my mustache and then back up to the sides, I don't know if my family's going to go for that, though, because that's a pretty funky beard thing he has.
I was thinking you kind of had the Al Borland look going.
Yeah, there is a celebrity lookalike. So if you guys, anybody knows the celebrity that I'm, we're early now. I mean, this is just it could go anywhere from here. It's getting to be annoying, and I got to do this till August, man. Summer with this thickness.
I was going to say Ted Kaczynski. I don't know.
Professor Ted. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what he looks like. I got a hoodie, though. Didn't he wear a hoodie or a raincoat or something?
And sunglasses.
Yeah, hoodie, shades.
I could go for that. I have to do a Google image search of Ted Kaczynski. I'm sure that
won't look bad at all. Yeah,
it shouldn't raise anybody's suspicions. It'll be good.
No, I'll just type in manifesto while I'm at it too. Just so.
Jeez. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about some technology. By the way, reports of the demise of net neutrality are a little premature. Just going to throw that out there.
I actually agree, and I have one, not correction, but follow-up from the last time we recorded. Many journalists, in my opinion, did a very horrible job on a lot of Google I.O. stuff. And me, no journalist. For me to call them out is kind of unfair. But I will say, I want to say, Android Authority? No, Android Central, I believe, podcast. The one with the creepy guy from Glen Burnie. I can say that because I'm from Glen Burnie, so I can call him all kinds of names. There's nothing he can do about it. They did a really good job of talking about the programming language that I can't remember the name of now, that is now available in Android, and how developers were freaking out about this is fantastic. This is going to make development time just speed up ridiculously and make it much easier for the newest of the new person to go in. Now, the legend, the fable, the myth, whatever, is the reason they're supporting this programming language is this is going to be the main programming language that they're going to plan on using in Fuchsia.
Oh, it's not Fuchsia. Kotlin?
Yes, thank you. Kotlin, yeah. I don't know. I looked at it. To me, it just looks like code. When I hack and slash through PHP or Python or ASP or C#, it's all just code to me. So when I look at that, I just see code,
Yeah.
It doesn't look any more painful than Java, because Java to me looks painful.
I created tables in WordPress today for the first time. That was pretty fun.
Tables are supposed to be deprecated and not used for since about 2003.
I didn't want to, but our webmaster kind of left me hanging, so then I have updated information that I needed to get on there, and it was tables.
Castaid style seats. They're the new hot discs, you know, for the last two decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remembered that. That's when I learned web design with Dreamweaver and CSS, and never looked back until now that I have to do it again.
It's with that said, CSS implementing a table like structure, if I don't have something doing it for me, like a WYSIWYG editor, it's going to be a table.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Still use HTML tables.
They still work. They still work. It's still good. Just, you know, isn't future compliant. The one question I'll have from you guys is, did you see any of the, or hear of, or read of, or whatever of, because it was followed by a huge and preceded by a huge hype train, Ruben announcing his formal phone and home device, which first off, I got to say, the in-home device just looks like a giant watch face. It looks ridiculous.
I didn't see the in-home device.
It literally looks like a giant watch face on a little angle sitting on a table. That's all it looks like.
So it's like an old school, like travel alarm clock?
No, it's supposed to be a Google Home or a Amazon Echo, but supposedly with much less need to be always connected. Supposedly there's a lot of questions and stuff it can do without having to connect to the internet, to which I just give it a wink and a thumbs up. Whatever you say, boss. Because there ain't, no, it doesn't. It connects. Everything connects. Okay. Or else you could literally put a $3 computer in it. You know what I mean? Everything connects. So I don't believe that hype train at all.
So what was the name of this new phone? Like the Essential phone?
Are you kidding? It's genius. The SEO marketing, he has it cornered. It's called the Essential phone.
So what's the in-home device? The Essential table piece?
The Essential home.
Oh.
This guy is proving to be an idiot.
Oh.
Because that is the absolute worst S naming thing you can do on the internet. How are people supposed to find you? Unless he thinks, well, my name is big enough that whenever someone types in Essential phone, they're going to be linked to my website.
And now, I didn't look into it, but it is somewhat of a modular device, the phone, where you can upgrade it?
It has like a modular socket from what I've seen. And all the modular socket does right now, I believe, is the idiotically stupid 360 camera that the amateur hour adult material creators would like to use. But that's about it.
it's essential for because that.
Because that's all it's used for. Yeah. Period.
I've got a little bit of news other than apps. I have upgraded my phone to Android O. And it's buggy right now. I mean, it's early. But it looks nice. The battery doesn't seem to be changed much. Maybe a little worse than it was previously, but it's early too. It does have some nice additions to like the notification pane, little things like that. Your system settings is all different. No, so far so good, I guess. I mean, it's not too buggy that I'm not living with it, but some of the apps are force closing. For some reason, I can't get a Google Photos icon on my in my app drawer anyway, shape or how. It's odd. I have photos. If I go in, if I type photos in the apps, an Android symbol shows up, and then I click on it, and then it goes to photos, but it's just weird. Little things.
Did you have to opt into O?
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes me feel much better. Yeah.
On the other hand, got the Android Wear 2.0 on my Moto 360 without opting in. It just said, it's downloaded. Put your watch on the charger to update it. I found that was a little disconcerting that I didn't have a choice in the matter.
Well, and because a lot of other people said, I opened it up out of the drawer. I blew the dust off.
Funny you mentioned that. I plugged mine in the other day, thinking like, oh yeah, I'm going to start wearing that again because I've been riding my bike to work and stuff. And it's been so long since I wore it, I forgot that the watch band is about broke and I need to get a new watch band for it. Now I remembered now that it's charged up.
So what were the immediate obvious changes on it, Mark, or was there any?
Notifications are significantly more annoying now than they used to be. They call them enhancements, I'm sure. Like, for example, when my wife sends me a text that has a picture in it of something that my cute daughter did, the picture now loads on my watch face 1.3 inches across. That's not useful to me at all. And it takes up the whole page. And so, you know, I'm looking at my watch to see what time it is because that's what watches are for. And instead, the entire watch face is taken up with the name of the podcast that I'm listening to. I don't need that. You know, it used to be a little third height thing there, and I could swipe up or down if I wanted more. But now it's full screen notifications. And that's the, honestly, that's the biggest change that I've seen so far. Otherwise, it's pretty much exactly the same, except the battery doesn't last as long. Yay for that.
I just, to me, that almost sounds like a Steve Jobs, Apple-esque maneuver of pushing an update. We'll tell you what you
sounds
want.
Sounds more Microsoft.
I agree. It does seem pushy. To me, the first time it does a new notification, it should prompt you and say, this is, you know, after you swipe it away or whatever, it should say, this is a new notification. Would you like the old way or the new way? You know, give people at least the choice to opt in or, you know, stay opt in to it.
That'd be cool. You know, like the, I don't know if it's Daydream or what it is, when your phone's in a black state and you get a notification that comes on, a little thing will show up on your screen and fade away. You know, not too in your face. Android O seemed to dull that down a bit. Like, it's not as nice as it was. I don't know. It's going to just okay. Less.
This just in, we interrupt this program for a breaking news bulletin. Mm. Young Frankenstein is now available for streaming on Netflix.
That's good
that
news.
That is. I just
got an email from Netflix saying, we just added a movie you might like. Yes. In fact, I would like that.
Yeah. Sorry. Walk this way.
What?
My daughter had a good time being Frau Gloomer or whatever the lady's name is. Blucher.
Yeah. Horses are panicking and they don't know why. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. I just had to get that out there. So updates, jury's still out on both Android O and Android Wear 2.0.
Well, I'm happy Eric had to opt into it. So when it's buggy, you're not as surprised.
You know? Right.
I don't like the fact that there was no, I mean, I guess I would have. For you, Mark, I would have liked there to at least be a, would you like to upgrade? Yeah. Even though I know that's like anti-everything these days. Right. I mean, Chrome OS automatically updates, Windows 10 automatically updates. Everybody's now getting to a terrified state of we have to auto-update kind of thing. So I guess that's norm moving forward.
So I put my watch on at about 5:45 this morning. It is now 9:33. So what is that? 12 would it be 5 plus 0, so 16-ish hours, all right? And my battery is saying 24%. So it's still all-day battery life. Mm-hmm. But ordinarily around this time, before the update, I would still have 35% plus. So there's a significant drop in performance overall, though it's still not enough to, you know, ruin the, you know, it's still considered all-day battery life. And I don't see any value in it. I'm not getting the benefit of that, you know, 8% or whatever battery drain.
Right. The only hardware related thing I want to say really quick, my phone is running fine, but you know, you got the itch. It never stops. The OnePlus 5 is supposedly going to be announced very soon. The Essential phone, I'm interested enough to keep my eye on it, but there is nothing about it. Here's the thing. You come out with a new manufacturer with a new phone, you either change the game and you make other vendors stand up and notice and do something different because you did something, or you're irrelevant. I don't see any other way that they're going to be successful unless they do something that literally changes the game.
The screen going all the way to the top is different. I don't know if it's a game changer. But
no, actually it isn't. There's been two Show Me devices, the Show Me Mix, Mi Mix, and there's been another one that do the same thing. There's nothing special about it. What's stupid about his phone is the screen goes all the way to the top, and right in the middle of the notification bar, there's basically a hole in your screen where the selfie camera is. That is stupid.
How often do you use your selfie camera?
I think we already know the answer to that question.
I take a lot of photos. I never use that camera. I just assume that the quality is going to be so much worse that there's no reason to ever use it. I may be wrong.
I'm with you, but there are breeds of people out there that exclusively use that camera because they need that positive feedback loop all the time. Here's a phone that I'm glancing at least, okay? I've had two people ask me in the last couple of days about Samsung S8 device, which is the absolute most mediocre meh device I think I've seen in the last 5 years, but its price is insane. It's $700-something. And they've obviously paid everybody to talk about it in marketing speak because nobody is saying anything bad about it. Give it a couple months, they'll start saying bad things about it because then the paychecks will slow down. There's nothing spectacular about the phone. This phone, on the other hand, it has me very interested. It's less than $400, and I honestly want to thank, I think it was Material Podcast that first notified me to this phone. I'll at least give credit. The Zenfone 3 Zoom from Asus. So it's an Asus device. Really quick. Asus devices have a lot of admin features on them that we do not see in any American phones. What I mean by that is you have the ability to select apps to say, don't let this app keep running. Let this app keep running. Don't let this app connect to the internet via 4G. Let this app connect to the internet via Wi-Fi. You have very fine grained controls like that that you can do throughout the application. That's just their OS. Their default keyboard sucks. Their stuff like that is horrible. But this phone is less than $400, okay? Starts out with a 32 to 64 gig internal storage. Of course, you probably want to go for the higher one. But the micro SD card supports up to 2 terabytes on SD card. You get a Google Drive 100 gig free space for 2 years. The entire device is 6 inches long, 5.5-inch screen. The processor is slightly old. It's a 625. We're now to like the 835s. So it's a slightly older processor, but it is octa-core, 4 high, 4 low processors.
So this is not an Atom processor like the original Zune was? They went back to a Qualcomm or regular?
They went back around 2 versions ago. I believe it was only the first 2 versions where you had the Atom as a possibility, but now I think they've basically dropped all Atoms and they just went straight to Qualcomm Snapdragons. Up to 4 gigs of RAM, which had a little bit more. The gimmick is this camera is insane, and it has a 5,000 milliamp battery. If you do not get all day life out of this phone, you have problems, okay? Like, serious. Like, you need to go talk to somebody kind of problems. This is a 5,000 milliamp battery. The camera is so high, so good. It literally has physical camera stabilization. Physical stabilization, which means if you put the phone on a tripod and hit a camera, what the phone actually does, it shifts up and down a little bit and side to side a little bit to then use software to give you a picture, which is essentially, I want to say, 4 times as clear as it already was going to be, because then they can see what they were missing between the pixels. So the camera quality in this phone is sick.
Here's what's interesting.
It is literally disgusting.
Reading the specs of it now. Rear-facing camera, 12 megapixel. Front-facing selfie camera, 13 megapixel. It's actually a better selfie cam than the rear-facing
camera. Well, it's more megapixels.
More pixels.
So actually, yeah. But, okay, so it's got 3 cameras, main camera, zoom camera, and front camera.
Right, yeah.
So the AMOLED zoom screen, and the zoom and main work together.
Only GSM, not compatible with Verizon folks.
Right, well, that just to me is just a default. Nothing's compatible with Verizon except for Verizon authorized.
As a headphone jack.
In 7 weeks, my middle child turns the magical age of 13, which in my house is the year at which you're allowed to get a cell phone. She still has a couple of merit-based things she has to complete before she can get a cell phone. But assuming the pressure is going to work in her favor, she's going to do whatever it takes to get that done. I'm in the market for a phone, and I got to say, at $329, this looks like a phone that I wouldn't be too brokenhearted if she destroyed in a year.
Yeah, to me, this is an unbelievably fair price phone. The way that they put it on that show made a lot of sense to me. What Asus has been doing is buying a phone that's a year old, opening it up, looking at it, getting their people to look at it and say, okay, now how can we make this very same thing, but for half the price kind of thing? So, you know, that's, I think, a good way to think of it. And I think it's unbelievably fair priced, under $400. I can tell you now, if my phone died today, without hesitation, this would be my next phone.
Available in navy black, glacier silver, or rose gold. Now, here's my question. How can it be both navy and black? How does that work?
Maybe the back is blue and the front is black? I don't know.
So it's a security guard camera.
Yeah. Maybe it's extra water resistant.
It's black. Navy.
I don't know. Maybe it likes to paint things.
So, listening audience, I am soliciting your recommendations for 13-year-old phone. When my oldest... Well, turned 13, I got her the Moto G. Solid phone, still using it 2 years later. What do you recommend?
Is this one, I left the page, is this a USB-C?
Yeah, Type-C.
I really like the Type-C.
Means we'll have to get new chargers all over the house.
Doesn't matter.
To some it's a plus, to some it's a minus. Well, no, you don't have to really get new chargers all over the house, Mark. You can spend $3 and get a Anker male type C, male type B to female. I can't even say it right.
Well,
now.
You can.
It's a little mini
Cooper. And you can get the cords for a dollar. You know, they're cheap.
Right. Or you could get the thing that they never shipped you off of Amazon under a different name with a little magnetic thing on the.
Don't even.
I'm sorry.
Get me started. That Kickstarter, he's referring to the Znaps, Z-N-A-P-S. They raised something like $3.5 million on Kickstarter and then used that to develop their product, never shipped it, and now they're selling it.
Nice. You're going to buy it the second time around, though, right?
No. They sent emails to people saying, sorry, we lost your order, but if you order a new one, we'll give you a 20% discount.
Oh, it's fair.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. And per Kickstarter, tough noogies. Once you give money to somebody, that's it. It is a speculative investment, not a pre-purchase.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. Crazy.
All right. How about we talk about some Android apps, unless you got some more hardware you want to talk about?
No.
All right. Door, kick us off, sir.
Okay. I love throwing away money. Wait, I don't. But I got to mention this app because it does seem extremely high priced to me. But it has a cult-like following. Okay. It's called Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. This is a game that people seem to really like a lot. Unfortunately, it costs $20 right now. It is from Capcom, top developer, mature 17+, 34 reviews because it's $20, I'm pretty sure. 4.9 average reviews, updated May 23rd, 2017, so still fairly new, between 100 and 500 installs, current version 1.0. The only way I can put this is almost like a courtroom drama simulator, is maybe the only way I know how to put this.
Well, you left out the most important thing. Japanese anime courtroom drama simulator.
Thank you. Yes. Where he like screams very strongly objection and stuff like that. And the girls all wear skirts.
So it's like some futuristic dystopian world with Japanese cyberpunk tech. I'm hearing myself describe this and thinking how insane that sounds.
Yeah.
What if Speed Racer was a lawyer?
Yes, there you go. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I wish it wasn't $20, or I wish you could play through 10 minutes before having to drop the 20.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the only reason it is $20, the only reason there is nothing free about it is this is a very successful franchise on other platforms like 3DS, I know. And I'm going to guess this is basically nothing more than a port from one of those systems over to Android. And the video says it's called Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies. When we look at the official app name, though, it's Ace Attorney Dual Destinies.
Capcom's got another game for $16, I guess, if you want to ease your way into this, called Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, which looks identical, but must just be the older version with different...
Clearly, the hairdo is different.
Well,
that's it.
And that one was last updated December 12, 2016.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else even does... you know, these kind of games, something tells me, you know, they kind of own the market,
yeah.
I had to guess. I don't know, but I had to bring it at least to the show once.
There are no objections to the latest entry in the Ace Attorney series. Become a lawyer and solve the case. Your client's life is in your hands.
So I thought, do attorneys solve the case?
Never.
Do police or state's attorney? Maybe state's attorneys solve the case. No?
In Hollywood... They do.
Attorneys do?
Yeah. They do a lot.
They solve the case to find that their client is guilty, and then they weasel their way around that to make it... I mean, a judge could solve the case and find somebody guilty.
Well, a judge has findings. There's just a little difference there.
I do like the screenshot of a leashed hawk coming into the courtroom. That's pretty neat. It's always good.
Well,
good.
I did make sure I said the word drama there, because I'm sure there's... And this is like literally over dramatized, I want to say. It makes a Hollywood TV show look utterly realistic, is the way I put it.
Yeah, in case you thought Matlock was too gritty and realistic, Ace Attorney Dual Destinies is for you. All right, Eric, what have you got? It can't be worse than this.
This is much better than that. Wow, that's pretty bad, though. Can't be worse than I honestly could probably pull one out that is. I knew that was the challenge. Anyway, this is a Bart Bonte game called Yellow. The objective of the game is to solve various unending different kinds of puzzles to make the screen turn yellow. And it's just a bunch of... It's like, how many different puzzles can you throw in one game? He does it here. We love Bart Bonte. He's a classic game producer. All of his games are challenging and fun, as far as I can tell. Well, I think it all started for us with Factory Balls, and then from then it's been just everything.
Didn't he do the one where you had the like different waveforms you had to match up? Remember that one?
I remember Sugar Sugar for sure.
That was a good one.
Let me look. Tap, tap, tap. I don't remember the waveforms.
Okay. It was one you brought, and the graphics look Bart Bonte-ish.
Mm-hmm. He has a style.
You just want to make it look yellow. I mean, I'm watching this. I'm trying to comment. I'm trying to give some insouciant commentary. But, you just make the screen yellow.
Make the screen yellow in many, many, many different ways.
It looks like a good standing in line game.
And there's hints. And the money-making aspect for Bart on this one is if you want a hint, you watch a video.
Mm.
Some of them took me two videos to figure out what it was I was supposed to do to turn it yellow. But then the next level I got through just fine. You know, it's I don't know if it was my own mental handicap or it was intentionally a harder one thrown in early. Just, I don't know. It is a good standing line game, though. You're right.
All right, so I will read an email, which is also an app recommendation from our friend Aaron, and I'll put the link in the show note. He says, "Hey, guys, this simple yet challenging game is the sequel to Flow Free and Flow Free Bridges, which I loved. Installed this last night. I've been running through the levels. There's an in-app purchase to remove the ads, $1.99 Canadian, which I gladly paid to follow Mark's pay-for-what-you-like mantra. And as I know, I'll get hours of entertainment out of it. Cheers, guys, and keep up the great work." And it's called Flow Hexes from Big Duck Games. And the Flow game has sucked many hours of my life away. I'm almost afraid to install this one, yet I just click the button.
Good for you. Don't be afraid.
I just know that this is going to consume my life because the other two games did.
Yeah, so the Flow games are like connecting electrical circuits on your screen without crossing them, right? Is that how it goes?
Right.
Without crossing lines?
Yeah, you're just connecting dots. You got a red dot and a blue dot and a green dot and a yellow dot, and you have to make them all connect without crossing. Right.
So remind me, were the old games just on a grid, a parallel and vertical grid then, and now it's hexes?
Right. Yeah, these are hexagons instead of squares.
Okay.
So you don't go straight across ever.
Oh, all right. Yeah, sure. Gotcha.
Yeah, so there is a different dynamic going on. I will say the only other consistency is, I believe, the screen needs to be filled. Every block needs to be gone through once, but that's just it, just once. You can never go through the same area more than once.
The frustrating thing is you can connect all the dots, but if you leave empty space, it doesn't count.
Right. And you can't like draw yourself into a corner to where now to connect the last one, you got to cross over other lines. It's, you know, there is a process that if you adhere to that process, you're going to be much more successful than not. But as I look up, like level 36, Mark, is 9x9. Oh my goodness, that does not look easy.
Yeah, in Flow Bridges, I got up to the 20x20. Things and I had to stop just because my phone was too small. I needed a tablet. I couldn't. My finger couldn't touch the things.
Good problem to have, man. Nice.
Yeah, this is a really good look one. And to be honest, I just like the contrast and the color. Very easy to see all the differences. This is the kind of thing you can stand. You can play in line outdoors. I mean, it's that like bright.
Yeah, not very jaggedy for your taste, door. But I mean, those are pretty round without any. You know, pixelation, those endpoints.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Aaron, for your contribution to the show. And now, door back to you, my friend.
I apologize for the first one because it was $20. I'm going to apologize for this one too, because I swear the screen that is the default screen was not the default screen when I downloaded this, okay? I'm going to first off make that apology, because, you know, I don't want to trigger anybody. But this is called Board Button. I know. I'm sorry. Board Button by Gable Studios. Puzzle E for Everyone. 1,723 reviews. Does have ads. It's basically like the bottom little ad bar on the bottom. 4.5 average reviews. 1,300 five-star reviews. Updated May the 4th. Between 100,000 and 500,000 installs. Version 1.3.3. And the very first picture in it is a Donald Trump thing. So let's not comment on Kofi. Let's just keep moving.
If you press the button, you get to blow his hair.
Well, no. He actually has nothing to do with this app. Okay,
it shows it in the video.
I don't care.
Oh, okay. See, the board button just takes you to different websites. And that's a website that it happened to take you to at that point.
This is like the old school...
Tumblr.
Not Tumblr. Tumblr was a bad blogging website.
That's it.
StumbleUpon, yes. This is like StumbleUpon, except a good amount of them are also games or gamification of one way or another. So basically, and the other thing I like about this is the phone is always in portrait mode. So when you're in line and you like have just one hand, let's just say hypothetically you're carrying a gallon of milk in one hand. With one hand, you can load the app, hit the board button, and then be launched to a website. A lot of them are like mini games, very quick, not super complex mini games. And I really do mean this very sincerely. I beg a lot of people, go ahead, download this. And then when you are bored, go ahead and hit the button. And I dare you to tell me it really isn't that bad. Is, you know, some of the games are actually pretty cool. And then here's the thing. The app notices if you stay on one game for a length of time and then hit board, it will ask you, it will say something to the effect of, you seem to like that app. Would you like a shortcut to it on your home screen? And that's how they get you. That's how they get you. So Gable Studios is smart in their thing. I almost don't like the lowbrow attempt at getting clicks by having the Donald Trump hair blowing thing on their page. Cause I play this for more than just a couple minutes. Never once saw anything Trump.
So just a quick aside, my daughter asked my mother just yesterday, is Trump's hair a toupee? And my wife said, well, yes, it's an obvious toupee. And my response was, would anybody pay for hair that bad?
Right.
But that's the thing. It's so bad, it's like David Letterman. It's obviously not a toupee. It's just really bad hair.
Right.
You know? And I can say that because I'm going bald.
This app developer is pretty clever in his writing. Your toilet time will be much more entertaining and long, and your time will be quickening in this realm. And then one other thing, one of the apps that are one of the websites that takes you to is Shower Thoughts. And one of the Shower Thoughts is, when you clean out a vacuum cleaner, you become the vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
Ah, deep.
Why are you still reading? Download the app. That's awesome.
Yeah, I really do hate to say it. This has literally been a fun... A lot of the apps I download, it's almost like, oh, let's see what we can do. This was legitimately fun.
Engaging, huh?
Yeah.
Has legs that sticks with you.
Well, and it was just shocking. It was like discovery. I don't know what's coming next. Let me click. Yeah. Let me launch it. Let me see what comes. And literally, easily 2/3 of the times, I was genuinely entertained.
That's cool.
All right, Eric, that's a high bar. What do you got to top it?
I've got an app for Sean Dirty Thumbs Johnson. I'm sure he's listening right now. Yeah, I know, exactly. I brought this last week, but you guys didn't show up. So it was Star Wars' birthday of some sort, 40 years old or something. So
no, it wasn't. That's a lie. Okay.
Well, it was May the 4th, 3 weeks ago. So May the 4th be with you. Jedi News by Brian Cameron. Basically, this is a news aggregator from all over the web. It takes news feed. It does some kind of hashtag, finds every Star Wars based article on the web and puts them right in front of you as a stream. That's its job.
And I hate to say it, there's enough things on the internet, I believe, to always keep this app fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I saw pictures of two of the stars landing in Ireland And like they were covered up, they were hiding their face, they were trying to, like, you know, squeeze through without being seen. And then they showed pictures of Mark Hamill getting off the plane with his like two thumbs up, screaming, "Yeah!" I'm like, yeah, he's the man. He's the man.
500 to 1,000 installs, bringing you the freshest apps right here.
It was even fresher last week, but I don't know. It's just gonna be a little guy.
Yeah. Five. Average reviews, 5, 17 total. Every single person has given it 5 stars. Version 1.0, updated March 25th. So
there you go, Sean. Enjoy. Between that and the board button, he should never leave the toilet.
All right. Well, I have one other email to read to you. It's from Adam Flint. It says, "Hi, Dwar. Important Android news. Ahoy. See the link. Nintendo's gaming classic Legend of Zelda is coming to smartphones. Best wishes, the Over the Pond Geek."
Hmm. Now I don't have to buy a Switch.
Mixed feelings. Such mixed feelings. That's all I got to say.
Because you're losing your superiority for having bought the Switch? Is that what it is?
No, because... Because Pokemon Go came out on Android, didn't like that at all. Mario Run or whatever came out on Android, didn't like that at all.
So do you think it'll be like a stripped down version of the game?
I hate to say I have no idea what they're going to do, because if I take a look at their past three games, I can't remember the name of the last one, which was like Blazing something. One was a turn-based RPG fighting game. One was a one-finger action game. And the other one was an augmented reality discovery battle game. I don't know what the hell to expect. Now, technically, I know Pokemon's not Nintendo. Shut the hell up, because Nintendo owns Pokemon. So while Pokemon's not Nintendo, or Nintendo isn't Pokemon, Pokemon's owned by Nintendo. So
they just brought another one of them out this week too.
Keep your emails. I know that game's coming. I fear what this Zelda game is going to be, if in fact it is real, because I fear that it's going to completely suck and be horrible and just try to get a couple bucks out of people.
Maybe it's a gateway to the Switch purchase.
I would like to say that is the case, but their previous examples haven't really done that. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. I'm going to download it. If it costs money, I'm going to buy it. We already know this, but I don't know if it's going to be any good. You know, I'll just say I have to wait and see.
Did the Switch come with Legend of Zelda, or did you have to buy that separately?
Nope. Switch by itself is just the two Joy-Con controllers, the base with a really crappy kickstand built in for $2.99.
So what did the Zelda game cost in the stores for?
$80.
$80?
$80. I got the $120 version special edition, and if I believe it's $120, and if I could have, I would have gotten the $160 Master's edition.
Man,
but I couldn't get that because it literally sold out in like 0.2 seconds.
This will be a tough sell on Android if they're anywhere close. I mean, I wouldn't even spend $20 for the most amazing lawyer game from Japan I've ever seen, and I don't know what I'd pay for this.
That's the thing. If they did it right, it would be a good companion game, because what I would like, and there were certain bullet games on Xbox and stuff where you could load the app up on your phone, and as you're playing, if you wanted, you could change your inventory around. You could change what armor you were wearing, or if you were at work, you could show people, here's all my inventory, and you could actually make effects to your character. When you go back and play the game, you would see those effects. If it's something like that, it could be really cool.
Sorry, guys, I have something playing music and I can't find where it is.
I was hoping that wasn't me.
I know, I wasn't sure.
Did you go to the dailymail.com, hover over something?
I have no idea.
Good music,
what it is.
Though. It's great music.
You don't have a little speaker icons on your tabs?
Hey, is it your Google Music playing your playlist? Is that what this is?
I don't know what it was.
My Thursday night playlist?
I just had to force close all Chrome tabs to get it because I couldn't figure out which one it was. So there will be no app recap for the night because I just closed them all.
Well, I can give it back.
Okay.
Reopen closed marks tabs. Use that button.
Well, we don't want to do that. Right. Playing music again.
Right. And if I had to summarize the Zelda game, the rumored Zelda game on Android, I'm cautiously, I don't want to say optimistic because I'm not. I'm just cautiously waiting for it to be announced, because I don't know what the hell to think. E3 is coming up. I think they'll be too busy with other stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, that's the last of our email, although I do want to say thank you to Joe Licata for his generous pledge to Patreon.
All right, Joe.
And every time I hear Joe Licata, I said this before, I keep thinking of a, me and my buddy, Earl the Pearl, which is a great name, which is the name of an older woman, but his name was Earl the Pearl.
That's weird. I used to know a Pearl the Squirrel.
Yeah. He was is a professional wrestler, because you don't really retire. You're always a professional wrestler. And we were watching some Japanese wrestling where every time a wrestler did a hurricanrana, the guy would scream at the top of his lungs, hurricanrana! And every time I hear Joe Licata, I think, Joe Licata! And it's just never going to stop. I'm pretty sure when I'm 80 years old, if somebody says, hey, did you ever know a Joe Licata? And it's just going to go in my head like that. I can't help it. So thank you very much for your support, Joe.
All right. Well, let's enter the tank emptying phase of the show. Eric, go for it.
Okay. I think I'm out of turn, but that's all right. Maybe not. This is a great looking game. It's actually out now. You don't have to wait for it like Zelda. This is called Cover Fire by Genera Games. I thought I brought this, but maybe I was planning on bringing it next week or last week. But this is a first-person shooter that is beautifully made. Even though I'm looking at the screenshots now, and I guess you wouldn't know that by looking at the screenshots. It's the mechanics of the game using two on-screen pads works really well, even on the Kindle Fire 8-inch, which I do recommend a tablet. The gameplay is awesome. And the graphics to keep up and everything. I don't know if you guys have played this game, but yeah, the screenshots do it no justice at all. And there's no video, so it makes it awesome.
Well, then it has to be good. But yeah, Cover Fire by Genera
Games, like Genera Games.
Genera Games, T for Team, 41,000 reviews, contains ads, in-app purchases, so it's the 1-2 punch. 4.6 average reviews, updated April 28th. Version 1.2.17, between 1 million and 5 million installs, content rating, teen, violence, blood. But I will say this. You take a look. There's no movies, not the first, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, but the fifth screenshot has, next to your tablet device where you're playing this, it has a dinosaur, a person in a dinosaur suit holding a machine gun. And if that's not some kind of undercover, like, Illuminati sign that this game is actually secretly really good, I don't know what it is.
And his name is Steve Rex.
Yep.
Yeah. So yes, I'm going to have to download this just because of that.
Yeah. I've never played a first person shooter on Android that played as well as this one.
So very you cool. said it's good on a tablet. Is it a playable experience on a phone?
I didn't even try.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't. All right. Entering my tank. One more good graphics, another game. This one, you know, this is probably not the best in class, but a decent try if you're looking for something new. It's called Assoluto Racing by Infinity Vector. And it's a very nice, well-made racing game where it takes money and things to probably level up, you know, and get different cars and things. I didn't go real far into it, but it was fun.
Gotcha.
Fun, really good looking game.
Yeah. In Infinity Vector Ltd, 31,000 reviews, E for everyone, contains ads and in-app purchase, another 1-2 punch, 4.2 average ratings, 19,000 five-star reviews, updated May 17th, 2017. That's a good sign. Version 1.9.1, again, between 1 million and 5 million installs. I don't mind these games, Eric. I'll say this right up. There's a certain type of racing game that I really get attracted to. I'm perfectly okay with the kind of racing game that allows you to buy upgrades, but I want that same game to allow you to achieve the same level of upgrades in a reasonable fashion without having to pay. If you want to pay to go quicker, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I really do like it when you don't have to. And I got to say, graphically speaking, even the old crappy cars look good.
The graphics on this, the screenshots look like magazine ads for a car. A new Acura 5000.
Right. The graphics, I mean, they're getting close to console quality on this kind of game here.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it doesn't do 90 frames a second, 90 FPS, on, like, my PC gaming rig, man. Oh, wait, sorry, I was just channeling somebody else.
It says, race with beautifully modeled, officially licensed cars from the top manufacturers in the world. The most realistic physics engines on the mobile will give you an unmatched control on the road and under the hood. Our small indie team of racing enthusiasts has lovingly crafted the most realistic mobile racing game on the market for you.
I'm looking forward to see how hot my phone gets.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say, because I am downloading this
thing. Good. Two for two on the door download list. Good. That's it for my tank right there.
Looks like the in-app price is $199 to $99.99. If you pay $100 for an in-app game purchase, I have a great investment opportunity I'd like to talk to you about.
Well, it's probably the dinosaur. Oh, that was the other game. Never mind.
All right, Dor. I hesitate to ask you to empty your tank because I know how voluminous it is. So give us three or four of your best ones.
And I'll try to go a little bit quicker. The first one is the obvious one that we already mentioned. Pokemon Magikarp. I'm not going to call it Magikarp because it's not Magikarp. It's M-A-G-I-K-A-R-P. Magikarp. Jump. My son hooked on this game. It's a grinder. You are a trainer. You have your own levels and stats. You raise fish in your pond. You have to grind them up levels. Once you go up far enough in levels, you can do extra training. You can have random in counters. There is no video in the Play Store. And then you can go into tournaments. I believe there's 10 complete tournaments. Every time you complete a tournament, basically your fish retires, and then you got to grind again with your new fish to go into the next tournament and win. The kid is absolutely hooked on this. Very pleasing, unbelievably kid-friendly graphics kind of thing. My son, after playing it for maybe 20 minutes, completely understood everything in the game, how to do, what to do, when to do, why to do, and was just rolling through it. He had a doctor's appointment. Tuesday. Tuesday, he had a doc's appointment. We were waiting in the office for like 45 minutes because we got there early. I'd rather get there early than late. And the whole time, he's explaining to me all the different things going on at the game. And, oh, look, this, blah, 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 stop by to say hi. And he gave me extra 5 coins, and it just kept going. And I said to him, I said, well, does anything in here cost money? He said, oh, yeah, all these things cost money. But if you just wait and play the game, you can get it all. So you don't have to spend money. Huh? And then tapped on his head. Good, keep playing.
Nice. Let me read you the description of this. They're trying to sell you this game with the following text. What is this world coming to? It's a Pokemon game all about the weakest Pokemon ever, Magikarp. Anyone can play this simple game in their spare time to create the most majestic Magikarp ever in this official Pokemon app. What kind of Pokemon is Magikarp? It's famous for being pathetically weak, unreliable, and generally useless. It can't learn any powerful moves. All it does is flop around and splash. When it flops way too high in the sky, it sometimes gets snagged by a bird. There you go.
Yeah, that's what my son said to me a couple times, and I didn't believe him. He said, this is the weakest Pokemon ever. Its only positive thing is when it reaches its maximum level, it has the ability to jump really high. So when you have contest, it looks like you're torturing the fish. Your fish and the other fish are just sitting there on the ground flopping, and then you say, Magikarp, jump! And then both of them just like skyrocket into the air, like literally like, you know, 17 meters into the air. And then they come back down and they both put holes in the earth. No wonder they retire after they do a match. They broke their ribs. But I'll say this, the kid loves it. And, you know, I can't speak no ill when the kid loves it.
All right, moving on.
There is going to be another Pokemon game coming out very, very shortly called Pokeland, L-A-N-D. It's not out yet. It literally went into Japanese alpha testing this week. So that's going to be coming as well. That's a more traditional Pokemon style game. Expect that to go crazy like gangbusters. Okay, now this app is actually a reimagining, reinvention, rejiggering, re-engineering from the ground up of one of my favorite Twitter apps, which is the most oxymoronic thing I ever said. Because every time I open up Twitter, I end up muting or banning or just for giggles, reporting 30, 40 different posters because I don't care about crowdsourcing. Because if you, I dare you to type in crowdsourcing, you will choke on it. And I dare you to type in VR or AR, you will choke on the amount of duplicate, repetitive, bot-created content there is. It's sickening. So every time I open up Twitter, I end up literally banning or muting at least 30 accounts. Easy 30 accounts, because it's just crap. Just piled to the rim with crap. And then I get to the stuff I actually like to read. The Switch stuff, the Zelda stuff, the mini computer stuff, the Linux stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. And my app I really like is called, I used to call it Phoenix because I'm an idiot. It's Phoenix, F-E-N-I-X. And this is Phoenix 2 Preview Unreleased. So they're basically, the old app is going to eventually die, Phoenix. And there's going to be replaced by Phoenix 2. The best features about Phoenix, in my opinion, is a very utterly clean interface, very easily multi-account management. You can easily, from one account, retweet and quote, and then switch accounts and say, you know, you find something while browsing with account A, but then when you retweet and quote, you can use account B to send it. Little things like that to me make this the app that I prefer to use when I can't find anything else to do and my board button app I've already drilled into the ground.
Installed, man.
So I like it.
Just told me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just clean, good app. Nothing spectacular about it. By Mavilla. M-V-I-L-L-A, social, mature 17 plus, because you never know what you're going to find on Twitter. It does not have ads except for the Twitter ads. There is no paid version of it. There is no reviews because it's in unreleased status. Updated July 1st, which is a lie. I got 3 updates today for this app, just because that's, I always open up my app store and see what's available. Has between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. This one needs Android 5.0 and up. I think that's the difference. This is being based off of a newer thing. So if you like Twitter and you like browsing Twitter, to me, this is one of the better interfaces. I encourage you guys to at least check it out. Simple. I don't want to say fun, but you know what I mean. The next one I want to bring is, I believe, from your friend and mine, Richard from Google Plus. This is called Fancy Pants Adventure. There is no way I can do this game justice, and I'm actually happy there's a video for it, okay? Fancy Pants Ed Adventures. I always call my son Fancy Pants, and he hates it, so the game name rung with me. This is by Over the Top Games, E for Everyone, does contain ads, does have in-app purchases. 279 reviews, 4.9 average reviews, 265 of them are 5 stars. Updated May 24th, a very good day. Between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. Current version 1.0.4, so it is a newer game. Unbelievably smooth games. I'm typically the guy that doesn't like the right, left, up, down buttons on the screen. I think they, you know, are kind of clunky and get in the way. The graphics, the animation, and the flow of this game is so damn good. I just found myself having fun. Like when you run and there's a curved thing going all 180 degrees back over your head, you will keep running on it and you will keep going around, kind of thing. So there's, you know, some physics stuff going on. You can get swords. You can do fights. You can jump on people. Your goal is to basically collect these little swirly thingies. I don't even know what the hell they are. I definitely had some genuine fun with this game. It does get a little bit hard, but it is definitely lots of fun, I will say.
This looks like a good game to put like on a set-top box or a Amazon Fire or something like that TV to play, because it is gamepad compatible too. It kind of reminds me of Super Mario being drawn out, you know, like a hand drawn stick man kind of Super Mario.
Yeah, it's a like action platformer, side scrolling platformer, but it's in a hand drawn ish kind of palette, I'll say. At least a little bit unique, a little bit different. I really do encourage people, at least watch the video, see if you understand what I'm saying about the physics, and you too might find it to be fun, filled with fancy pants adventure. This is the one I'm going to bring next. Let me first rearrange my tabs. I got to put these things in order or else I will never find them at the end of the show. This, I believe, is a second version, Reckless Getaway by Pixelbyte. Action E for Everyone. Both, again, it has contain ads and in-app purchases. Top developer, 499 stars, 3.2 average reviews. Updated May 29th between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. Current version 1.68. This is an almost Crossy Road type graphics. It's like, you know, modern retro-ish combination kind of thing. Endless Runner. You basically have, I believe, only two buttons, right and left. Your goal is your inner car, and your goal is to basically not get caught by the cops and not blow up. You can cut through parking lots, cut across train lines, cut through alleyways, do whatever you got to do to just get the hell away.
Well, in the original Reckless Getaway, you start out by robbing a bank, and you're taken off. And it was cartoony kind of graphics. This looks more like South Park graphics to me, like paper, kind of paper mache graphics with shadows and things like that. They really took it to the next level. Do you start out robbing a bank again, like before?
I'm going to say no, but now that you say that, every time the game started, I was in a parking lot of either like a gas station or a building. So I'm going to assume that, yes, we also did some law breaking then.
This looks like fun. I'm definitely installing this one. Thank you,
okay.
Dora.
No problem. That one, I think, is a lot of fun. I don't remember this other app. Oh, I do. This app, you have to pay me a buck. So I'm going to bring this other one just because it had at least a level of uniqueness to it. I like things that at least try a little bit. This one is called X-Wars Grand Cauldron Arcade. Everyone, Ian up. Contains ad in-app purchase. Again, you can see that that's like a running thing going on. Updated May 18th, 2017, between 10 and 15 installs, version 1.0. There's no video in the store. The reason this game to me was a little bit different was you're automatically firing the whole time. When your hand is off the screen, everything goes super, super slow-mo. It doesn't stop, but it definitely goes really, really slow. At the very bottom, you have a button. The button flips your ship over. You're either white or you're black, okay? The enemies coming at you are white and black. When you're the white ship, you can not destroy other white ships. You can only destroy black ships. And then when you're the black ship, the opposite happens. So you have to constantly take your hand off the screen, hit the button at the bottom, flip over, then go back up and touch the screen. Because when you touch and hold down the screen, you're steering your ship. So it had a definite mechanic that I don't remember really seeing in any other game, which made this game at least a little bit of fun. Was not easy. I'm going to tell you, when you start playing, you're going to think this is a stupid easy game. Not stupid easy game. Definitely gets a little bit difficult. Definitely has a challenge in it. And it definitely, I would say, had at least some fun factor to it. I'm not going to say like 8 out of 10 fun factor, but it definitely was fulfilling, I'll say, and just running around, you know, destroying stuff, killing stuff kind of thing. There's one more. Last one I'm going to bring. The last time we did the app, I did Galaxy 3. Something Galaxy 3. I can't remember what the hell the game was called. But we like kind of collectively almost Galaxy on Fire 3. And we almost collectively sighed like this isn't compatible with any devices. Okay. Well, I did say on the show, and I was right. I couldn't believe it. Monday, when the show came out, I went and looked at the app again. It was compatible with nearly all my devices. So if you wait when we say it isn't compatible, if you wait a couple days, sometimes a week, sometimes 2 weeks, compatibility opens up. It's basically like when the app launches, they don't want everybody complaining about bugs, so they just limit how many people can download it. So that made me feel better.
It's still incompatible with all my devices.
Well, you know, you are running beta software, yeah. So you know, I guess you'll have that. and that was just too easy. I could help.
Yeah.
This last one, I think I put the note in there. Did I put the note in there? I didn't put the note in there. I put the note in there. Now the note's in there. Okay. This is an unreleased thing. This was not in. I can't install this on nothing. Eric, you're the only one out of the three of us who can possibly even install this.
Because yes,
right now I believe
it
is It is only available with O devices because of certain kernel level things. If you remember,
I don't even know what it is. I've already installed it.
I know, but I'm going through a time machine here.
Okay. Come on, Mark.
Last episode, I know. Last episode, I mentioned how at the Google I/O, nobody focused on the fact that there was multiple DJs there doing live music things running off of Android devices. In this version of Android, they've done a lot to reduce latency to near real-time kernel, okay, which is really hard to do. So now that we have near real-time kernels, everyone says we're going to have true competition between iOS and Android for actual music creation apps. This is an example of that. This is called Noise by Roly, Music and Audio, E for Everyone. It is unstable, it says. You need to have something running. I believe it was O only to install this. Updated May 17, 2017, which I believe was the first day of Google I/O. I'm not sure. Between 1,000 and 5,000 installs. So for only being available for those limited devices to already be up to possibly 5,000 installs, I think is saying something. I don't even know what to call this, Eric. This is the Board of Lights.
Yeah, it's a
music style creation stuff.
It's a modular music app.
Like a MIDI board.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah. So if you're a music creator and if you have a Pixel type device, a newer device where you can get O on it, and you want to play experience near real-time kernel music creation, I think you might have yourself some fun.
I got it installed. Oh, there's pages and pages of instructions.
Well, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. This makes for great content, Eric.
You don't want to hear my beats drop? Isn't that great?
Did you expect an answer from that?
All right. I'm just going to give you a small sample. I don't want you guys to start a new podcast called Drop That Bass Eric Podcast or something.
Okay, so that was like 4 or 5 after, so I got to cut it off. I can't go anymore.
All right. Like I said, I don't have the recap because I closed my browser, and I just finished all the 5x5 and 6x6 levels in Flow Free, so that's why I was quiet.
Good man. Good man.
I should have guessed.
Starting out the apps, then we have Ace Attorney Dual Destiny. I also added a Apollo Justice Ace a Attorney. Then we have Yellow. After that, Flow Free Hexes. Then Board Button. Then we have Jedi News. After that, we have Cover Fire, and then Absoluto Racing. Then we have Pokemon Magikarp Jump, and then Phoenix 2 Preview Unreleased. Sorry, Phoenix
there you go.
2 Preview Unreleased. Then we have Fancy Pants Adventures, Reckless Getaway 2, X Wars, Wars with a Z. Then we have Noise Unreleased. And now I have to document that? These.
11, 12?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14. So when we miss a week, we make up for it, people.
Yeah.
That's how we reward you for your patience. You can reward us for our hard work by going to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and pitching in $1. That's all we ask. $1. Or $1,000. You know, whatever. But, $1 is good. And that's how you stand up and be counted, how you pay for what you like, how you support the show. So please do that. And go then, therefore, and tell 500 people next week. That's your assignment. Tell 500 of your closest friends about this show. So that's all I have to say. Eric, what are your closing thoughts of wisdom?
I don't know if I have any tonight. I think when we did miss a week, other than Doors $20 app from the beginning of the show, the cream rose to the top, and you got all the good apps. We didn't bring a lot of crap apps tonight. I think that.
There you go.
Door.
Dang, yo. I don't know. I'm still trying to recoil from that shot there, man. I'm speaking to the listeners. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sending us emails. And never forget, if you find it too hard to remember AAA@podnuts.com, or it's too much like work, TMLW, you can always just send us a voicemail at 707-6-PODNUT, and we will play it live on the air. We haven't had a voicemail in months. I'm not sure why. Maybe because we're not saying it as much, but 7076-PODNUT. And if you want to tell Mark what is the appropriate device for a 13-year-old child, not a 13-year-old cell phone, but for a 13-year-old child, send an email to aaa@podnuts.com.
7076-PODNUT. You can call that on the way to work tomorrow and on the way back home from work afterwards.
You just don't have an accident while doing it.
Hands-free, of course, sir. That would be bad. We wouldn't expect nothing less.
And I'm sponsoring a pool on the number of inches that, of beard that Eric can grow between now and August 1st.
Why is there a family library switch now in the Google Play Store where you can turn family library on and off for a game, even though it's like E for everyone?
Well, no. There are certain games, hypothetically, that I might buy that are family compatible that I think that's too mature for my kid.
Okay.
So you can each one turn on or off whether or not it's available for the
entire Yeah, and if you guys aren't watching live at AndroidPodnuts.com/live, you'll never know how long my beard's getting, and because I'm in a competition and it's growing, and you could see it. And now I need to go buy more flannel shirts.
Two words, Eric. Beard balm.
I got some. I got two tubes of it. One of it's top secret. It's got like crossed out words on it and everything. I got the beard bastion brush. So, I got beard oil. I am so not getting are they good? No eczema here, man.
So are they going to do any drug testing at the end of this competition? Because, you know, you might be using some
performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just say I hang out at Monsanto a lot. Just, dip my finger in a little bit every now and then. Get some growth hormone, some whatever it is.
HGH.
You ever just completely forget the pattern to unlock your phone?
I don't use a pattern. If I forgot my finger, I would be in trouble, yes.
I just right now, I picked it up to open it. Can't remember. Not a clue. I'm sure it'll come to me later. I'll pick it up and I won't even think about it. But right now, can't for the life of me think of how to get into my phone.
Oh, Mark, we are getting aged.
It's just completely gone. It's not there anymore.
Well, that's the kind of thing you literally just put it down, immediately start watching something or get yourself a drink or go to the bathroom. Don't even think about it. And then when you come out of whatever you're doing, you'll just instinctively pick your phone up and
do that 400 times a day. And it's just gone. It's just part of my brain is just eating away.
This is a great opportunity. Try to hack it. Look at it. Can you see any grease smudge?
I actually did try that. Yeah.
It's not
working. Because there's just grease all over it.
Oh, damn.
Do you have a backup PIN number or anything?
If you forget it, you can always use your password. But I should be able to remember the pattern. It's...
Well, it is late. You've been up
for... We'll give you that one.
Yeah.
Okay. And so with that, I'm going to end the show. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. I love being here. I appreciate the opportunity. I hope you like the show. And if you do, the best way to do it is to throw money at door. But the second thing, the best thing you can do is tell other people about it. So we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts. Remember to pay for what you like.
My name is Jeff Hallisch. I am the host of PodNuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.